Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and delve into the Word of God today, and we're going to actually we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture we started with last week in the book of James, and this is James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. It says, "Don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it, for that is the essence of self-deception. So always let His word become like poetry written and fulfilled in your life. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks into the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and forget your divine origin. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear and are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessing in all that they do." So we looked at this passage last week, and we said, you know, we think of this passage of Scripture in terms of, you know, clearly not just hearing what the Word of God tells us to do and listen to its instructions, but we also have to be a doer of it. You know, you can even get a revelation of something that's really cool, and you know it's God. I mean, I've had this happen before too, where I'll get a revelation in the morning of something that's really cool, and I'll go through and I'm struggling with something, and the Lord will just point me back to that original thing you told me that morning. And it was like, that was preparing me for today. And I said, well, that's really cool. And then he kind of walked away and forgot about it, you know. So you can even get really cool things, really revelation, but unless you gaze into it and you adhere to it and heed what that word is saying, you're not going to be blessed by it. You know, your life isn't going to be blessed by it. There's a certain blessing in hearing from God, certainly, but unless you do what you see or carry out what the Word of God says, then that Word isn't going to be able to bless your life, because it's there not just to be heard, but to be done, to be exercised. And so we've kind of understood that in some different realms, but I really wanted to take that application of being a doer of the Word and relate it to who we are in Christ. Last week we had a message called Accepting Who You Are in Christ. In other words, we've kind of heard through the years the different cool things the Bible says that we are in Christ. It said it's like a mirror. You can hold it up. You know, a natural mirror is going to reflect your natural image. But the spiritual mirror of the Word of God, you look into that mirror and you see other things looking back at you. You see that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You see that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You see the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. You can't get that in a natural mirror. It takes this mirror to see that reflection. And that's what this scripture is talking about in verse 24. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go and forget your divine origin. And so it's cool to hear about all the in Christ stuff, but if we don't gaze into that truth and let it become part of who we are, it's just going to be kind of fluffy stuff that really never changes our life, you know? You may even be able to be emotionally inspired by the thought that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, but that emotional inspiration is going to last about 5 minutes. You understand? It's not going to really change your life. There's a point in time where you have to accept who you are in Christ. Just the same way that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a time when you heard about it, thought about it, but then there came a time when you said, I accept it. And that's when it changes your life. Same is true with the in Christ truths. You can hear about it, be interested and amazed by it, but at some point you have to step up to the plate and say, that's true about me. I believe that. Now, here's a reflection in the mirror. You're going to see two different images staring back at you. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." There is a reflection of salvation that's looking back to you from this mirror. Here's another truth in the mirror. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Same mirror reflecting two different truths. So the top truth is reflecting your salvation. The bottom truth is reflecting your new creation. So here's the question. Which of these truths, which of these scriptures are more true? Are one of these scriptures more true than the other scripture? No. They're both equally true. They're both equally inspired by the Word of God. They're both just as sure. In other words, just as sure as 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on that cross for your sins and was raised from the dead, and you've believed upon Him as your Savior, just as sure and true as that is, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. All has become new. They are equally true. They are just as true. And yet when you look at those two scriptures, or maybe I'm just tell off on me a little bit, that John 3:16 just, they're both true, technically true, but John 3:16 kind of rings a little more true in my heart. That reality of John 3:16. Why is that? Because I've looked at that verse a lot through my life. I've declared that verse. I've thought about that verse. I've had that verse test a few things in my life, and I've had to come to the conclusion that I am a child of God. I've gazed into that verse, and I believe it. It's in me. I've accepted it. And yet, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is just as true. And so many times what we need to do in terms of accepting who we are in Christ is we need to do to 2 Corinthians 5:17 what we've been doing to John 3:16. To look at it, to gaze in it, and to begin to see it reflecting in every area of our life. Now, as we do that, again, that's just kind of a quick little synopsis of last week and what we're doing. But as we do this, and as we practice this exercise, we're going to kind of go on from here because there's another reality that we experience, and this is just going to be the second part in the series, and this is going to be called defending who you are in Christ, okay? You know, last week, we accepted who we are in Christ, but it doesn't just stop there. It's good to do that and to see that, but the reason why that's so hard sometimes is because even though you accept who you are in Christ, there are other voices and forces in the world that look into that are looking over that kitty's shoulder and saying, "You're no lion. Come on, you're a cat. Get over it. Don't be delusional here. This is real life now." I mean, these are the things that we have to deal with when you decide to accept who you are in Christ. I mean, declaring it is great. Declaring it's the first step. We're the United States of America. And we were born out of a declaration on the 4th of July, 1776. We declared our independence. But then we had a fight on our hands, didn't we? You know, was it 1789? I forgot the actual date. The end of the Revolutionary War, that freedom was realized. I mean, the British didn't just say, and go back to England after we declared our independence. They fought us. No, you're not free. No, you're not. We still own you. And we had to fight. You know, that's Emily was just talking, brought that out too. She was talking, I'm not sure it was the Civil or Revolutionary. Was it Civil? Civil, yeah. But there is these battles that we have to fight. You know, there was a fight, you know, the freedom, the Emancipation Proclamation. There was a lot of blood spilled and fought for that to happen. You know, that was very powerful in a sacrifice. It didn't just happen. There was a fight. But then the freedom is there, and the freedom. But we see that even right here when we're talking about our freedom in Christ that we sing about, that we declare, that there is a defending of who you are in Christ. There are going to be voices and forces that work against that identity. Because I'm telling you what, the enemy is most afraid of your identity in Christ, of you knowing your identity and walking in that identity. That is the most powerful thing that you can do is stepping into that identity. Because once you step into that identity, the blood of Christ, the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, all that then makes sense. But first things first, you're going to defend who you are. You're going to step into who you are in Christ. So as we look at this morning, we're just going to talk about some different things that try to throw us off from that identity and how we come against it and we stand our ground in defending who we are in Christ. Again, the first step is you just have to accept it. Right? As long as you're not accepting it, you're not going to really have much of a fight. The enemy comes and fights you when you begin to accept it and embrace it. Oh, you really are a new creation. Okay. That's when you're going to begin to have to deal with some crosswinds, all right, and some friction. But here we are. Yeah, we're stepping up. We're accepting it. All right, well, now what? As we begin to do that, one of the ways that we begin to establish and defend who we are and defend our identity in Christ is simply what we'll call walking in the Spirit. There is just a proactive going after the things of God in the Spirit. This is Galatians 5:16 says, as you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. For your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder Him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. Okay? Now, this is very important. I mean, we always kind of see that old flesh paradigm and, you know, you got to get free from that old flesh stuff and, you know, and get victory over this flesh thing and that flesh thing. But there is something that goes out ahead of all that, is realizing and recognizing that that Spirit is your identity. It's who you are in Christ. And you begin to realize that as you're going to get free from the power of sin or what the Bible calls the lust of the flesh, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, if you walk in your identity of who you are in Christ, you won't walk in that flesh identity of what you do and what you say when you're walking in the flesh. In other words, he's saying claim that spiritual identity of who you are in Christ. Romans 13 puts it this way, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Instead, fully immerse yourselves into the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and don't waste even a moment's thought on your former identity to awaken its selfish desires. So this is what I want you to do this morning as you begin to think about the spirit-flesh battle. Begin to think about it as a spirit identity battle versus a flesh identity battle. See the identity that's going on in this battle, because that's really what's going on. It's, you know, when you sin and you fall and you miss it, you feel bad, but it triggers identity. Your flesh is talking to you. So you're a new creation, huh? Yeah, not really. This is who you really are. You know it. Come on. You know that this is who you really are. Your flesh has a voice, if you've discovered that by now. Your flesh has a pull. Your flesh has a call. It's almost like a phone ringing. It wants your attention. Here's another great scripture kind of in connection with this. There is therefore now no condemnation who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so you can see that there's a battle going on in the mind, but there is very specifically a battle that's going on in the mind for your identity. You'll notice, you know, he says kind of the same thing here. Put off the junk, the revelry, drunkenness, lewdness, lust, strife, and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? How do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? You put on the work of Christ. This is when you begin to declare who you are in Christ. This is when you begin to declare, I am a new creation. The old has passed away, all has become new. When you say the old has passed away, you're talking about verse 13 stuff. You're beginning to declare, this is who I am. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And when you do this, you begin to find out that you know that the difference between walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit, walking in the flesh identity or walking in that Spirit identity, it's a lot like a switch in a railroad track. You know, that train is going down the track and you switch and it can be going the flesh identity or you can switch it and it can be going the Spirit identity. This is a humbling thing. But when you begin to set your mind, just like it says in verse 5, you live according to the flesh, you're just setting your mind on the things of the flesh. You live according to the Spirit, you're setting your mind on the things of the Spirit. And so we see that a big part of getting free from the flesh identity, that flesh calling, is when we begin to set our mind on those things of the Spirit. I'm just going to do one more scripture here too. Therefore, dear brothers, sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. That's the phone ringing of your flesh. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Here we're going back to identity. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. You're seeing identity here. He's combating the dictates of the flesh with who you are. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. This is, you know, I was trying to kind of get across last week just how emphatic, you know, this truth really is. It's hard to articulate without really getting a spirit of revelation in it. I mean, the best I could think of is like Naaman going down in that water. 7 times? Come on. This is like a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. I have leprosy here. What am I doing this for? But it was the command of the Lord. And when there's the command of the Lord behind what you're doing, it's faith. And when the command of the Lord says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you begin to see who you are in Christ, and you begin to declare who you are in Christ, you're doing it by faith. You're doing it by faith. You know, when I have failed, all right, when I have sinned, and I feel horrible, you know, praise God, I can confess my sins. He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and cleanse my conscience so that I'm restored again. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ can do for me. It makes me clean. It makes me clear again. And boy, what I want to say is, I want you to catch this, because there is such a connection between fear and the flesh. Sometimes I got my flesh stuff and I'm dealing with this old spirit of fear from the devil. Yeah, that's true. And Satan does attack with the spirit of fear. Sometimes there's a connection, though, between flesh and fear. And there's a deliverance. There's a deliverance in declaring who you are in Christ. What did Adam and Eve say? We ate of the fruit and we were afraid. That's what sin does. When you miss it, you just become afraid. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Why do the wicked flee? Because they're afraid. Because they've done something wicked. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Why are they not afraid? They have a sense of righteousness. They have a sense of right standing. And there are times when fear gets a back door into our lives through the flesh. But this is where the cool thing happens. This is where you get free from fear without even trying to get free from fear. When you begin to declare who you are in Christ, I don't care how bad you've missed it. I don't care how bad you failed. You are still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It hasn't changed who you are. Yes, I receive mercy and grace. Yes, I receive forgiveness. But I also declare who I am in Christ Jesus. I hold on to that identity. And when you see it from the context of identity, this isn't about, oh, I missed it, and I feel bad, and I'm going to confess who I am in Christ so I feel good about myself again. This is not about feeling good about yourself again. This is not about combating bad negative feelings with positive feelings. It has nothing to do with that. You realize in that moment of failure that there is a battle for your identity going on, and I'm fighting for that identity. I'm defending that identity. Yes, I failed. Yes, I missed it, but yes, I've received forgiveness, and yes, I'm still a new creation in Christ Jesus. I still belong to him. I'm still a child of God. I still have Abba, Father going on in the inside of my spirit. That hasn't changed. My failure hasn't changed that. He is still for me. He is not against me. What is that? You are defending your identity in Christ. You're defending who you are in him. You're not letting him take that from you. And that is something that we have to do as believers. You've got to see that victory of overcoming sin is there's an identity battle going on here. Yeah, I have no obligation, verse 12 says, I have no obligation to do what my sinful nature urges me to. Why don't I have an obligation? Because I am a child of God. Because I have his spirit in me, my heart crying, Abba, Father. And this is where I'm just saying, and I'm just going to reiterate it by faith. When you begin to declare who you are by faith in Christ Jesus, and declare it, something begins to happen. The same thing that happens with John 3:16. You get established in that truth. Something that begins to happen. It's like dipping in that Jordan. You're dipping in the promise of the new creation. You begin to believe it. You begin to declare it, and you begin to believe it. You're thinking about it, and you're declaring it. You're declaring that it's true. Now, let me make a distinction here. I can memorize Scripture, all right? And I can recite Scripture that I've memorized. It's good to memorize Scripture. It's good to hide the Word of God in your heart. But I'm not talking about just reciting memorized Scripture. I'm talking about intentionally thinking about it, believing it in your heart, and declaring it with your mouth. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. All has become new. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin for me that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He did it and I became it. And I thank God for it. And that's what I stand in. And when I begin it and I stand it and I declare it, then I become bold and I'm not running away afraid anymore because I don't have a sin consciousness that the enemy can play on because I know who I am. That's my identity. That's my identity. I'm defending that identity over my own sinful weights and sins that so easily beset you. It's the ones that so easily beset you that play identity on your mind. But yet they're still sin, and they've still been defeated by the law of the Spirit of life has defeated that law of sin and death, including the ones that so easily beset you. And those ones that so easily beset you are not your identity. They are not who you are. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're defending that. This is who I am. I am new. Praise God. Again, I receive mercy and grace, cleansing by the blood. Receive that. Cleanse my conscience. You know, it cleanses my conscience. My spirit's still new. All right? I'm cleansing my conscience before God. And what does the Bible say? If your conscience doesn't condemn you, you have confidence toward God. There's one thing that gives me confidence toward God. The blood that cleanses my conscience gives me confidence toward God. I have confidence and access by the blood. And so that's where I realize that blood is the power of my identity of who I am in Christ. I got to defend that. I remember Kenneth Hagin would say something in that context when he just failure and stuff that's going on. He said, I don't care if failure is walking naked in front of you. All right? He said, hold fast to your confession of who you are in Christ. Hold fast to who you are. Declare who you are. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Again, this is not about trying to feel better. This is about getting your identity back. This is about seeing who you are because that's what's going to make you righteous and bold as a lion, that identity. This is who I am. Yeah, I know. I know. But this is who I am in Christ. Lord, I thank you. This is the way you see me. What am I doing? I'm accepting it. I'm defending it. I'm walking in it. This is going to get really real to me. And when this gets really real to me, you're going to change. You're not going to be afraid anymore. Sin isn't going to be able to get a back door to fear in your life when you stand in who you are in Christ Jesus. Because that is who you are. That is who you are. I like that wording too, where he says in verse 15, since you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves, instead you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. That's what isn't that what sin's, the voice of sin is? You're my slave. I own you. I'm your master, and you will do what I want you to do. Okay, good, you didn't do it today. Congratulations. But you know I own you. You know I'm just waiting. I'm just lurking. Big picture. You are a slave. And this is where the scripture says, you're not a slave. I haven't received a spirit that makes me fearful slaves. I've received a spirit, though, God's Spirit, as he's adopted me as his child. That's identity. Abba, Father. In the face of that voice that says, I own you, Abba, Father. Daddy, Daddy, I am a child of God. That's who I am. I am who you say I am. The great Bethel song of recently. I'm a child of God. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's a matter of holding on to that freedom, gazing into that freedom, owning that freedom, identifying that freedom in the face of your failure. Okay, but you know what? I'm going to overcome this because this is what he says in verse 13. If you live by its dictates, you'll die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. What does it look like in real life when you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the sinful nature? It's when your identity in Christ becomes so strong and it's so real that who you are in him, when that old sinful nature comes along and says, no, you have no pull on me. You have no hold on me. You don't call the shots in my life anymore. That's what it means to put to death the deeds of the body, that those sinful nature deeds. That master is gone. He has no pull on me. He can knock at the door, but I have no obligation to answer that call when the sinful nature rings. I have a control because I know who I am. I know who I am in him. Praise God. The other aspect of this is the process of renewing your mind. There's that standing your ground, but there is going to be an intentional renewing of your mind. The scripture says, so as dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifices, be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. All right? You've got the pull of the flesh. You've also got the pull of the world, right? We're being challenged to conform or to copy the custom. So you've got that internal, kind of that intrinsic mortal body you're walking around in that's telling you who you are. But then there's a world that's saying, no, that you are not that line in the mirror, all right? That world tries to define who you are by its customs and its behaviors. And the world will say, a truly caring person looks like this. And you say, no, what the Word of God says is what a truly caring and wonderful person looks like. And that's my image in the Word of God. The world will look at your image in that Word of God and will do what they did to Jesus. They will humiliate you. They will, and that's what Jesus said, don't marvel that the world hates you. You know, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They're going to look into that, into your mirror and call you everything religious, arrogant, you know, everything from A to Z. They're going to impugn your reflection. But that's where you can't be intimidated by the world's voices either. You can't be intimidated by what the world says is a lion. You understand? What God calls a lion and what this world calls a lion are two completely different things. Satan is a roaring lion, an evil one, who goes about trying to devour. The lion that we see in the reflection of the mirror is the image of the Lion of Judah, that image of Christ that has been stamped in our hearts, that he made us in his image and his likeness. Praise God, so that we can live like Christ and be like Christ. So you got this push and pull of the world that's trying to get you off. As you're doing this, as you're kind of going through this renewal process, and I'll just look at a couple of scriptures. Put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So here we see that kind of that renewing part again, renewing, changing the way you think. And put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. So as you're being renewed in the spirit of your mind, again, you're putting on that new man. You're putting on who you are in Christ. You're putting on, and that's what you're doing in the face of that worldly objection, in the face of, you know, sometimes it can be people who knew you when, you know, who might come back. You know, you have that relationship with your flesh that you have to overcome with your identity, but sometimes there can be people. Sometimes there can be times in your life, and they might remind you, no, this is who you are. Or you kind of feel that pull or feel that accusation and different things like that. There was a movie that, well, there's a great, you know, kind of story that's been made into a movie, many different versions of the movie called Les Miserables. You may have heard of that. Some of you have watched that. That's been kind of a great story. I've gleaned some really amazing things out of, and probably that 90s version is the one that I've really watched that's connected with me. But and for those of you who don't know, there's basically a guy, Jean Valjean, and his sister's children are starving. He steals some bread to feed them. It's a very poverty-stricken time. He has to go to jail for like 19 years. He's in jail for this bread he stole. He comes out of jail and he's bitter. He's mad at the world. He has to wear this mark of a convict, you know. And nobody wants anything to do with him. And then he finally finds this priest that lets him into his house. And the priest, in his kindness, shares, you know, a nice warm meal and gives him a place to stay. And Jean Valjean, in return for this priest's kindness, knocks the priest out and steals his silverware and heads out and flees. And so then the next morning, the police bring this Jean Valjean back to the priest and says, we caught this guy. He told us this story. He told us that you gave him this silverware. And the priest said, yes, I did. I gave him the silverware. But Jean Valjean, I also gave you some candlesticks. Why don't you take them? they're uncuffing him, and he's saying, you're going to let me go? You know, because right now, I mean, think of that bread in prison time. He's getting ready to face the rest of his life. And it's not just a prison, but it's a slave camp. I mean, a slave labor camp. He's got all these images from his past life that he's got. That just kind of haunt him wherever he goes, you know. And as the police were going away, you know, that priest looks at him and says, Jean Valjean, you're a new man. He said, why are you doing this? He said, Jean Valjean, you no longer belong to evil. With this silver, I have bought your soul. I've ransomed you from fear and hatred. Now I give you back to God. You know, that obviously he's just like, you know, he got all the bad breaks. You know, everybody's after him. He never, and all of a sudden, this man who he was mean to just showed him kindness and mercy and grace and blessed him with amazing wealth. I mean, unbelievable wealth. All of a sudden, he's a wealthy man, pretty much, in a lot of ways. And he took that, what that man, because that man saw him different. His whole life, all he is a convict. But this man saw him as a new man, as precious. And when he went from that place, he went, you know, way off to another city, but he became a successful businessman, a compassionate businessman, helped people, and actually became the mayor of the city. And it was just an amazing story of restoration. But the other character in this story called Javar is the police, kind of the police prefect. He's assigned to this city that, you know, Jean Valjean is the mayor of. And this Javar just so happened to be one of the guards in the prison camp that kicked him around and beat him around. And when Jean Valjean, you know, fled to that new city, he hadn't technically checked in his parole deal or something like that. So as soon as Javar noticed and recognized it was him, he was after him. He said, "You're a convict." You know, this is 9 years later, and he's living as the mayor of the city, and he says, "You're a convict," and he was coming after him. And a lot of this movie is where Javar is chasing after Jean Valjean, because no matter what he did, no matter the change and transformation, he didn't recognize it. "You're a convict. You're a convict." You know, I won't tell you how the movie ends if you haven't seen it, but that's just kind of a highlight from it. But when you think of our lives and our story and who we are in Christ, while we were sinners, while we were bitter Jean Valjeans, he said, God demonstrated his kindness toward us. And he sent his only son and ransomed us, ransomed our souls with his blood, praise God, so that we could walk in a newness of life, that we could go on. But you know, there is a Javar, that enemy, you know, there is the voice of the world that will never see you as who you really are. They will always label you and go after you, hound you as a convict. And that's where, what are you doing? You're putting off that old former conduct. You're being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you're realizing, no, this is who I am. I am who God says I am. I am a new creation. I'm putting on that new man, which according to God was created in righteousness and true holiness. There is an actual intentional thing that I'm doing as I'm getting free from that pull of the world, that call of the world. Come on, this is who you are. Don't be one of those delusional Christians. No. Yeah, not only do I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, it's worse than that. I believe I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. All has become new. The world can't understand this. Spiritual things are foolishness to the natural man. You understand? If your salvation seems foolishness to them, how much more? The fact that you're a new creation, they aren't going to get it. And it's not that you have to stand up and tell them you're a new creation in Christ Jesus per se. You just have to be able to come against the voices and the suggestions that they're telling you. You understand? They're going to put labels on you that are not pretty labels. And you're going to have to say, no, that's not my label. Just because I didn't jump through your hoops doesn't mean I'm that. I am who God says I am. I'm putting off the former conduct. I'm putting on that new man. I'm doing what Colossians 3:10 says. For you've acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. And you have clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into a fuller, more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image and likeness of him who created it. Praise God. There is a process in there. There is that renewing. And here's a great one in Colossians 3. Says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distraction of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed your tie to this life, and your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. It's hidden there. You can even know that it's technically, theologically what's there, but it's hidden to you until you put it on, until you declare it, until you get revelation of who you are in Christ. I'm telling you, that revelation of who you are in Christ gets so real. You know, the old question, I brought this out last week, you know, what would Jesus do? You get so renewed in your mind, it's like, what would the new creation do with the Holy Spirit as a temple of the Holy Spirit? What would a new creation do? What would a child of God do? Because that's who you are. You see yourself as a new creation. I'm telling you, there is when you begin to declare who you are, and what does this look like in real life? I mean, you're declaring, I'm a child of God. Not just, like I said, Sunday morning, we give ourselves permission to go there. But when you're not at church on a Sunday morning, declare, I'm a child of God. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. I have His righteousness. I am righteous in Him. You know, it's good to get some of those scriptures even printed out and look at them. But let this get in you, because there is power in identity and knowing who you are in Christ. That gets so real in you, the very same weights and sins that so easily used to beset you, there's something, it's almost like there's power around you. There's an identity. You're putting on that new man. You're seeing, you're believing, that's who I am. This is who I am. I had an amazing kind of a spiritual dream a couple nights ago. And you know how dreams are kind of quirky anyway. This was one of those things where I was in this big action-packed thing and things were going on, and it was like some big car chase, and you know, I couldn't tell good guys, bad guys. It was just kind of a bit of a blur, but I recognized this one guy in the scene, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm racing and things are crashing, and the next thing I know, I'm in kind of this area that's kind of white, and I'm seeing that guy there. And I look at him and I said, are we? He said, yeah, we're in heaven. I said, wow, we're in heaven? He said, yeah. And this is the amazing thing. I mean, I've had heaven things and different things like that. But this heaven thing was very different, because it was heaven. It was like, and I kind of found it's like a type of heaven, because what he was calling heaven was this place. Because when you looked at this plane, it was like this plane. It wasn't like full heaven with pillars and glory and cherubim and all that kind of stuff going on, but it was bright. But it was like earth. It seemed like natural. It seemed like we were walking around and there was people. It wasn't just me. It was almost like a hybrid, part heaven, part earth. Because I was me. I could talk. I could communicate. I had a free will. I could do what I wanted to do. But here's the cool thing. I remember I'm talking with this guy, and as we're talking, it's like in my mind, you know, you naturally might get cynical or angry or jittery. It was like I would feel my mind going there. I wouldn't be able to go there. I was aware in this dream of who I was in Christ. I was aware of who I am. It was like, I was actually surprised. Wow, there's no satisfaction in going there. You know, I'm kind of walking and walking. It's like you kind of veer off and it's like, nope, something you want to say. Any kind of carnal mindedness. It was like you were reeled in automatically from the inside. It's kind of like if you've ever looked at some of those services where you can watch a movie, but you can put a filter in that movie. You want to take out the language, the nudity, the drugs, all that kind of stuff. And you could watch that movie, but it filters out all that junk. It was like there was this new creation filter in me. I'm walking in this plane, and it was like, you know, things I was saying, thinking, because I'm feeling like engaged in life, all right? It's kind of more of it wasn't like I was doing, I can't remember specifically what I was doing. I just remember that, and it wasn't just me, it was a lot of us. But we were living life, we were going through, we were talking, we were exchanging conversations and things like that. But anytime anything kind of got a little off, it was just like, it was almost like muted. It was out. There was no desire to go there. My mind was wondering, really? But it was almost like I was experiencing the power of the new creation life. The Bible, the creation's yearning for the revealing of the sons of God in the earth. And it was like, it was a type of heaven in that I was walking in this newness of life, but I had control. I had control, not because of a discipline, but because of a reality of who I was. I don't do that. I don't go there. That's not who I am. No. It was so real in my dream of who I was in Christ Jesus that it was like, just, it didn't pull. It didn't have its appeal. That's what John says. You know, he who is born of God sins not. For his seed remains in him and he can't sin. You know, you understand? The new creation has no desire to sin. Your new creation has no bitterness. Your new creation has no addictions. Your new creation has no fears. Your new creation is as bold as a lion, because the righteousness of God and the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. You understand? Your flesh can't forgive. What your flesh can do is be vindictive. That's what your flesh can do. But the new creation can forgive things the flesh can't. The new creation has the love of God shed abroad in its heart. And forgive. It can be an imitator of God and walk in love. That's what the new creation can do. I'm trying to love. I'm trying to walk. How can some people can do it? Let that root system of your identity in Christ go deep into who you are in Christ. That's where you begin to find your strength. you begins to change your identity. I'm not trying to fight a bunch of battles. That's what the scripture doesn't say. Don't walk in the flesh. It says walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's what I was experiencing in this dream. We were just in a place, we were walking in the spirit and we just didn't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not that the invitation wasn't there, but there was no obligation to it anymore. No obligation to bitterness. I mean, bitterness has an obligation when you're in the flesh. But in the spirit, the new creation has no obligation to bitterness. But how does that happen? Not because, it's putting on the new man. It's dipping. It does take effort. It does take time. It is a beholding and a glory to glory process. But that's okay. When you begin to see it and you begin to get a hold of that, there rises up in you an excitement about it. Because this is something I can do. The scripture would call this sowing to the Spirit. And when you're declaring who you are in Christ, you're reaping of the Spirit. You're reaping a revelation of who you are. You're reaping a reality of who that inner man is. Because it's true. Like we said, John 3:16 or 2 Corinthians 5:17, they are equally true. Equally. Just as sure as Jesus died on that cross to save me, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, there's no one truth that's more true than the other. Finally, the weapons of your warfare that you have, and this is where you're going to get intentional about some of the things that God's given you. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not carnal. Confessing who you are in Christ is not a carnal thing, but it is powerful in God for pulling down strongholds, old identities, and ways of seeing yourself, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, against the identity of who you are in Christ. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, to the identity of who you are in Christ. You're holding on to that identity. You're holding on to who you are. God changed you. He got you born again to be someone that can live free from the law of sin and death. Ephesians 6 puts it this way, in every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield. It's able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp sword of the Spirit of the spoken word of God. And that's what you're doing. When you're declaring who you are swinging the sword of the Spirit. It is the word of God. Now, let's look at that sword in another light as it relates to resisting the enemy. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, the one who's declaring wrong images, wrong identities, who accuse them, before our God, day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him. They overcame them false accusations. They overcame them wrong identities by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, they knew who they were in Christ. They knew what the blood had done for them. They didn't let sin suck them back into an old identity and just do a bunch of other junk because who cares now? No, I still am who the Word of God says I am. And by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You understand, when you're declaring who you are in Christ, that's the testimony of Jesus. You're testifying of what God did in Christ on your behalf. Yes, I am a new creation. Yes, I have been made righteous. I am a child of God. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think according to the power that works in me right now as a child of God. He wants me to get a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of the power that works toward me, which was the same power that he used when he raised Jesus from the dead. He wants me to get that revelation. He wants me to know that power, to be aware of that power. Because that's who is in me. He that is in me really is greater than he that is in this world. What am I doing? I'm testifying. And when you're testifying, you're declaring something, there's a spirit of prophecy about that testimony. There's a spirit of prophecy. I don't care if you're just by yourself. And you declare who you are in Christ. There's a spiritual realm that can hear your preaching. There's a spiritual realm that can hear what you're saying. And you're declaring it. And faith is coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as you begin to declare it, and declare it, and declare it, something happens. Almost accidentally, you're hearing it and you're beginning to believe it. As you begin to say it and declare it, you realize, I'm not going to back off from this, am I? Oh, okay, I believe it. This is true. I believe it. And the Spirit of God takes hold with your faith because it is true. And God did do that work. And when faith and trust and declaration and testifying happen, you behold him, you're changed. Now, you get a revelation of who you are. You get in touch, you could put it that way, with who you are on the inside. When we look at this mirror, we look at the mirror of the Word of God. When I got saved, God did all that cool stuff in my spirit. I can't see it. I can't feel it.
I can't smell it. There's nothing about what God did in me that my natural man can tell or detect. The only way I can know what happened in me is by looking at the mirror of the Word. This is the only way I know what happened on the inside of me. But then faith is when I take what's in that mirror of the Word and I'm renewed in knowledge according to that image of Him who created him. God did this. The Word does this. I have to do this. I have to believe this. Praise God. I believed on Jesus. I'm a child of God. I've got that victory. But if I'm going to get this other victory, I got to believe it too. I got to be renewed in my mind. I got to take this. This has got to go from fluffy stuff to reality. When this goes from fluffy to reality, look out, devil, because you're going to walk in a place where you're not afraid anymore because you've gone there in your mind and your spirit. This is who I am. I am a child of God. What do I tell the enemy when he comes around? I say this. This is a great Halloween scripture, okay? This is for every goose, ghoul and goblin. Hear ye. He has canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it. All our sins, our stained soul, he deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross, nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. Yes. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, you begin to believe that. When you begin to believe that, it's very hard for Satan to spook you. Because you not only believe who you are in Christ, you believe what he did to the devil. You understand? Again, I just want to get across. This isn't, I feel bad, I want to feel good. This is identity. I don't care if I feel bad. I'm declaring who I am in Christ. I want to get a hold of my spiritual identity. That's what I'm going for. I'm not trying to feel good. I want to get a hold of my identity. I know what it's like when the Spirit rises up because the Spirit is there to bear truth. Jesus didn't give you the Holy Spirit to feel good. He gave you the Holy Spirit to bear truth, to bear witness to truth. And when you begin to declare the Word of God, who you are in Christ, the Spirit of God rises up and says, that's true. That's true. That's true. You really are new. You really are my child. I really am for you. I really do ever live to make intercession for you. I really never will leave you nor forsake you. So you can boldly say, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Because the witness is there to bear truth. The world doesn't have that witness. You know, it's pearls before the swine, if you try to explain it sometimes. You know, you really just have to use wisdom as far as that goes. But you need to know it for you. You need to hold on to those pearls as precious and declare who they are. Because there's a time when you decide, okay, I'm going to step up to the plate and accept who I am in Christ. We declared our independence. But you got to know there's a battle. There's a fight that you got coming. You know, as long as you're wishy-washy and just let it be fluffy stuff and just don't go there and just play the game of condemnation, you know, there's really not a lot. But when you step up to that plate, man, there's going to be a fight, but that's okay. Because you get strong in that fight, and you begin to know who you are in that fight. And spiritual things get real to you in that fight. And when there's a reality of the new creation, of who you are in Christ, and it's just real that the Holy Spirit's living on the inside of you, you'll begin to just live out of your spirit. You just live from that place. And it's like, what's happened? Again, God did the amazing work at the new birth. The Spirit just says what that is. All I'm doing is I'm believing it. I'm being renewed in the knowledge of Him who created Him. I'm letting that truth be here. Because when what's in here gets up here, the Holy Spirit has a lot to work with in your life. When you choose to believe that in the face of your flesh, in the face of this world, in the face of the demonic roars of the devil, when you defend that and say, no, this is going to be renewed in the knowledge of Him who created Him. There's no new theology here. It's kind of the humbling thing about it. It's stuff you've known. Dip in who you are in Christ. Let that word wash over you. Let that word change you. Let that word strengthen you from glory to glory. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus. You don't change. Your word doesn't change. We just thank you, Lord, for who you've made us to be. Father, we are hungering after who you say we are. Lord, we want who you say we are to rise up big in our hearts, Father. We don't have to try to problem solve a bunch of weeds. We just need to get established in who we are in you and then do what you tell us to do about those weeds. Lord, we are going to grow in you. We're going to grow in you and in the power of your might. Father, we love you. We thank you for doing these changes in our hearts. And we are coming after you right now, Lord. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I am your child. Your spirit lives in me. Your spirit witnesses to truth. I'm a new creation. I'm brand new. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. I can do all things through the power of your Spirit. I have access by your blood into the chambers of grace. My conscience is cleansed because my identity is child of God, and I receive your forgiveness. I thank you for healing. Healing is the children's bread. I'm a child of God. I can boldly take hold of all your promises. I can boldly take hold of the healing of my body. I can step up and say, by your stripes, I was healed, and I receive your healing. That your spirit gives life to my mortal body. You're my healer, Jesus. You're my Lord. And Lord Jesus, today's my day. I am calling on your name. I'm driving a stake in the ground today. I declare, I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And I declare with my mouth that you are the Lord of my life today. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. And I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, I just want to say welcome to the family. It's all you can do is call upon his name, receive him. If that was you, let me know after service. Just let me know, hey, that was my first time, you know? I just called upon his name. I really chose to believe. I'll tell you what, if it was you, not only are you saved, but you are brand new. You've got a covenant with God. You've got promises that cover everything in your life. It's the best decision you can ever make. Praise God. Well, receive that today, and just let that truth go in you further and further. Again, I just feel like this is kind of more of an exhortative series where it's just, you know, taking what we already know and gazing into it, not walking away, forgetting our divine origin. There are so many things I've cried out to God for deliverance in my life that I would have just stayed there and let who I am in Christ renew me and renew the way I think. That there is deliverance in that. Like Emily saw that deliverance, you know, that slave. There's deliverance as you're renewed in knowledge of in the image of him who created him. Because as that knowledge is getting in you, it's pushing junk out. Old ways of thinking are getting pushed out. But there's a renewing, there's a deliverance in this message, in this word. So let your heart, let your mind gaze into that mirror. Because as you're changed, there's deliverance in those changes too. So praise God. Just receive that. Be encouraged by that.